This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn. And our next story is all about money, really, because if we truly want the youth to be the next political force, then it's time we talk about money politics. Focusing not necessarily on the state or federal levels, although they are important, but rather looking at political parties and what's happening within. So this is stemming from a webinar that was held by Undi Sarawak, where political economist Professor Edmund Terence Gomez said that older politicians who have been in the arena for decades are stifling the growth of younger politicians. The former are too involved in the system of money politics and are unwilling to change. Again, this is according to the professor. And this is seen as being in contrast to younger players, many of whom want to change the system. So we're going to be speaking to Prof. Terence in just a moment for more of his thoughts. But, you know, this isn't exactly new. In an interview with The Diplomat, Syed Sadiq of Muda said that one reason he started the party was to find a new way of doing politics, one that doesn't rely on raising money through business dealings and cronyism, but rather through new means like online crowdfunding. And I think how this plays out is super important because really what we're talking about here, aside from money, is this issue of political will. Is there enough political will to make changes to things that have been entrenched for a very long time and to really being honest and looking at the influence that money politics can have. So that's what we're going to be discussing after this. If you'd like to weigh in, do you think that this is a problem in our political parties and that this might be stifling the growth of younger voices emerging? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:11 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about money politics and the effect it has on political parties and on the youth and younger politicians being able to make their way up. So we're crossing over now to Edmund Terence Gomez, who's the Professor of Political Economy at the University of Malaya. Prof, thank you so much for speaking with us. So we quoted you earlier from the webinar, and I just want to do that again, where you stated that political financing is preventing the advancement of new blood in political parties. Could you explain to us how that works?
There's a history to political financing that we need to understand in order to interpret the current state of affairs. In the 1980s, 1981 to be very specific, that's when the phenomenon first started at the UMNO General Assembly during the contest between Razali Hamza and Musa Hitam for the post of Deputy President of UMNO. That was when money was first used at the UMNO General Assembly. It was repeated again in the 1984 election, again in the fight between Musa and Razali. And then again in 1987, when a dispute occurred between Mahathir and Razali. Razali had combined forces with Musa to take on Mahathir and then Finance Minister Dayan Zainuddin. Now, what happened was the culmination of this feuding within the party was that the party got disbanded and UMNO Baru was formed when, in 1990. When UMNO Baru was formed, what happened also was that Mahathir changed the constitution of the party to make it difficult to challenge the presidency and the deputy president's post. You had to get a certain number of nominations from the grassroots before you can run for in the elections for these posts. So what that meant was in subsequent elections, and this we saw in 1993, in the contest for deputy presidency between Anwar Ibrahim and Ghaffar Baba, money was raised from the private sector and sent down to the grassroots. So if money politics was once only at the level of the General Assembly, now it had permeated the body politic. It had gone down to the grassroots. And it created a culture of, you must give me money if I want votes. And what has happened over history is that party leaders have now found that if you want to maintain support, you have to support the divisional leaders. And you have to channel money to the divisional leaders because they control the branches. Now, by doing that, what happened was a phenomenon of warlords occurred within the party. This warlord system still prevails in UMNO. So that means if a young person now wants to challenge the hierarchy, become a divisional leader, and then eventually go for a senior position in the party, he needs to raise a lot of money to unseat these warlords. And that's proven to be extremely difficult. Now, unless you dismantle the system, it is very unlikely that you will see bright young people with new ideas emerging within the party. And that's what we are seeing now in the political system. If you look at our leaders today, look at UMNO, you will find that the current senior leaders in the political system are people who are around from the 1980s, Mahathir, Anwar Ibrahim, Razali Hamza. These are the same people who have been around for 40 years. There is this new young breed of young politicians. They have not been able to emerge in the party because of this culture of money politics that is becoming deeply embedded in the party.
And would you say this is something that happens in other political parties as well?
That's an important question, because what we have seen within parties is that there have been breakaways. Now, in UMNO, there was a breakaway and they formed Semangat, and later Semangat decided to return to UMNO. But later, in 1998, we saw another breakaway. Keadilan, or now known as PKR, is a breakaway from UMNO. And many UMNO members left the party and became part of PKR. And what happened then was this phenomenon of the money politics that we saw in UMNO now permeating into the opposition. If you look at the most recent PKR election in the fight between Azmin Ali and Rafizi for the post of deputy presidency, interestingly enough, just like in UMNO, a huge volume of money was spent in that election. If you look at Bersatu is also another breakaway from UMNO, you will find that the same practice probably prevails in Bersatu, simply because the members there were from UMNO. So what you're seeing now with breakaways due to serious factionalism within UMNO and with the establishment of new parties, now you're seeing that money politics of the sort that we saw in UMNO also prevailing within opposition parties. This is why today this problem of money politics and the issue of political financing is so serious in the country. It permeates across the board in all parties.
And to your knowledge, I mean, are any of these political parties actively trying to change that system or culture within themselves?
Among the major parties, whether in the Perikatan or in the Pakatan, no. And I'd like to give some history to this. The problem of money politics was becoming quite serious by the 1990s. Mahathir himself, then as president, convened a special UMNO General Assembly to deal with this problem. And at the opening of the Special General Assembly, he said, if once the party and its members were poor, today we are gathering to discuss another problem. Now we are very rich. We have a lot of money, and that money politics is destroying the party. In fact, his own words were that a cancer had permeated the body politic, and they had to do something about this cancer. Unfortunately, nothing happened. When Abdullah took over, Abdullah also spoke of change and the need to bring a stop to money politics, but no change happened during his term of office. When Abdullah stood down and Najib took over, both of them at the UMNO General Assembly during the handover of the presidency, both said there's a need to stop money politics or it will destroy the party. Najib did try to propose some reforms on the financing of politics in his first term, but that got shelved very quickly. Now, the defining election was 2008. In 2008, for the first time in Malaysian history, five state governments fell to the opposition. And so you would find that major parties like DAP got control of Penang and PKR got control of Selangor. This was unprecedented. Now, a year before that, Bersih had organized a major rally, and one of the rallying cries was stop money politics. So when these opposition parties gained control of state governments and they also secured a huge representation in parliament, what happened was NGOs led by Transparency International, and I was part of that movement, we came up with recommendations to reform political financing. And we took these recommendations to parliament and we spoke first to the members of the opposition. And I thought at that point there will be an applauding of what we had done. We had come up with recommendations, and now all the opposition parties needed to do was take it to the chamber and get this passed through. But at that meeting, there are a lot of opposition members were present, MPs were present. They said no. And when I asked these opposition members, why is it that you're saying no? They said, it is because now that we are in control of, we have done well in the elections, and I would argue that now we're in control of the two most industrialized states in the country, Penang and Selangor, they were now privy to funds. By their own admission, they were now privy to funds. Now, because they were privy to funds, they were no longer supportive of any reforms. So I did mention to them, no matter how much money you're getting now, you must remember this, Barisan Nasional will always have more than you. But that didn't resonate with them. Subsequently, in 2013, when they had a general election, what we saw now was very surprising, because if before we saw money politics primarily within parties, especially UMNO, now we saw in 2013 a stupendous amount of money was being spent during the general election. And once the 1MDB scandal was exposed, the Prime Minister at that time, Najib, said he received a donation of 2.6 billion ringgit from abroad, which was used to try and win more support during the general election. So what happened in that general election is very clear now. Now we are seeing foreign money being brought in. And what we were also seeing now was that opposition parties were also getting a lot of money. So the volume of money now that had permeated the political system was huge. So this is why the situation had now become very serious. But there was an interesting phenomenon in 2018, when this, just before the 2018 election, when this 1MDB scandal was exposed, and then later the 2.6 billion donation had gone into Najib's account, Najib, in response, said, okay, I'm going to form a committee to review the financing of politics. And he set up the committee. And NGOs, and I was part of that group too, we were not happy with what they were recommending. So we came up with our own recommendations. And we took these recommendations to the opposition. And although they didn't say no, they didn't either show great support for it. There was a reason for this. There was another phenomenon that had emerged, which we must be aware of. In the financing of politics, what had occurred was that 1MDB scandal exposed how GLCs, government-linked companies, are a major source of funding for the parties. Money may be channeled from the GLCs into the political parties. That we don't know much about. But what we do know, and is very clear, is politicians are appointed as directors of GLCs, for which they get a stipend, and the stipend that they receive is then channeled into the party's coffers. It's a major source of revenue generation for parties. And what is interesting also is because by 2018, a lot of opposition parties were also in control of state governments. So you would find in Penang, led by DAP, in Selangor, led by PKR, in Kelantan, led by PAS, all these states, for example, like UMNO, controlled states, had control of GLCs, and they were privy to funding. And that is another reason why they were not keen on any reform, because why stop the source of revenue from this, what I call the shadow world? The shadow world, which nobody knew much about, which there was little oversight of, and which is a major source of revenue generation for these parties. What that means is, there was no political will among parties across the board to reform the financing of politics. And that's where we are today. It's a very bad place to be in when no political party is interested in reforming the financing of politics, because they have too much to lose from doing so.
So you've also said that change must come from the outside. Why do you think that's the case? And ultimately, what would it take to reform our political systems?
You see, the reason why I said change must come from outside is this. When the phenomenon of money politics was started, it started from within the parties. And then if you look at the history of other parties too, including other parties in the Barisan Nasional, money politics became a major phenomenon during party elections. The problem here is that since money is permeating within parties, among members, especially during elections, there's real little political will on the part of the party members to bring about any reforms. Why should they? The other problem is whatever is happening within parties is not in the public eye. It's not like during general elections or state elections where the election commission can monitor what is happening and there are some regulations on the volume of money they can spend. There's no such thing in party elections. So one of the reforms that we called for was to expose how much money is also being used during party elections and to bring it into the public eye. Of course, we got a lot of backlash from the parties. They are just not interested in this. Now, because we don't have any desire on the part of politicians to stop what's happening within the parties and to let us see what's happening in terms of how money is deployed during the party elections, and because we now know that money is very important during general elections, if you want to win elections, especially when it's so competitive now, there's going to be no will on the part of political parties to bring about the reform. So for these two reasons, that's why we have to go outside the party. Let me make one more point. If we don't stop it, as you can see, we're already seeing other phenomena emerging. The thing that is really worrying now is party hopping. We have seen what happened with party hopping and how it's led to the fall of a democratically elected government. We have also seen how it can be used through policies. So, for example, one major policy that was created was BRIM. Now, BRIM is a cash transfer. But many people knew when it was introduced in 2012, it was a mechanism to use the coffers of the government to transfer money to an electorate so that they would get the support of the electorate. And BRIM became a very important factor during the 2013 election. And let me remind you, this was in response to the debacle of the 2008 election when UMNO and Bharatiya National did very badly. And what of corruption? One consequences of all this is serious corruption, most clearly highlighted in the cases that are now going on involving Zahid, Tunku Adnan, and Najib Razak. There is some hope, however, that young people within political parties are also beginning to realize that if they don't do something about it, they will never be able to break through that warlord system. So I'm hoping that within parties, if there's any hope of change coming, it will come from the younger generation of party members who realize that this phenomenon is not good for the image of the party and it's not helping them present themselves as a credible representative of the people during elections. So these are the things we have to look into now. How can civil society move forward? And can we put more pressure, especially on the young, to also stand up within the party and then collectively also start a proper movement campaign to push through this reform of political financing? Now, I must say this, when Pakatan was in power, a law was prepared and they were about to table it. They said they were going to table it. They delayed it for some time and they said they were about to present it at the next parliamentary sitting when Pakatan fell. So the law is there. So if there is a campaign, a strong demand from people, then there's some hope this government will respond. Why? Because it's a weak government. And when you're a weak government, you tend to be more responsive to demands from society. So this is the time to make the demand for the change. Otherwise, we're going to see money politics also permeating the next general election in a way which is not good for the electorate.
Prof, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Edmund Terence Gomez, Professor of Political Economy at the University of Malaya. And we've essentially been discussing money politics and not so much, I mean, we know that it impacts our political system at many levels, but today we've been focused particularly on what it means for parties and what it means really for younger leaders to emerge and how they can do so without necessarily participating in these old systems. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, send them our way. In the meantime, we're also going to be headed to the 7:30 news, after which it's popcorn culture. Tonight, we are reviewing Ron Howard's latest film, Hillbilly Elegy. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.